Time. I'm trying to get a later version of what I just got done putting up.
Only be near. Only be near. All things are possible. Only be near.
Bibles this evening to Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to speak from verse 6 through 9. And this will be our fifth sermon in the mini series on the fivefold ministry. I'd like to entitle this Humility, and it's number 58 in our faith series. And Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As you said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you once again for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you are the great prophet who has come down in this hour, the Son of Man. And we're thankful that we had a man named William Branham who was yielded enough to be a son of man, to reveal the son of man. So thank you for these words, Father. And now that we have read from the Apostle Paul, the Alpha ministry of Jesus Christ, may we, Lord, look into that via the Omega ministry as well. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Now notice the warning that comes from the Apostle Paul here. He says, he marvels that someone has been able to come along and sway you or lead you away from Christ by preaching to you a different message than what he preached to you. Now, we've been looking at the ministry of the fivefold offices that God has placed in the church, and it is for one specific purpose, and that is to bring us into a unity of the revelation of Jesus Christ through the knowledge of the Son of God. And once unified by the revelation of Christ, it will bring us to a maturity of sons, getting us ready for the return of Jesus Christ and our adoption as sons. The whole world is groaning and waiting for this to happen, as Paul tells us in Romans 8. Now, Satan knows this as well. In fact, he knows the best way to keep you from drinking from the transforming waters of life is by muddying those waters. So Satan sends in alongside of truth his false fivefold ministry to preach destructive heresies, which is how the water of life becomes muddy, knowing full well that only a hunted animal will stop to drink from a muddy water because he has no other choice. We see this warning not only in Galatians 1, which we've already read to you, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, where Paul says, I would to God that you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you, in other words, I have engaged you to one husband, Christ the Word, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, not just a virgin untouched by man, but a chaste virgin, one who has been tried and tested. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguile or seduce Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, a totally different Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, a spirit of different nature, which you have not received, or another gospel, a gospel with a different nature, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with it, or why do you put up with it so easily enough? Oh, excuse me. Thank you. Next time I'm reading like that, somebody just say, Amen, and I'll get your attention, and then you can point up to the... All right. In other words, Paul was so frustrated that the people were content to hear anything as long as they claimed to be in the truth. Paul was frustrated with the people because they were not content, or excuse me, they were so content with so little of understanding of the word. So, How is this to be done if a minister refuses to preach doctrine? You can preach until you're blue in the face, and they'll never get it just because you say so. You have to take them into the Scripture and show them doctrinally where they stand and their relationship to God as a son, and then point them to Jesus Christ, the firstborn son, as our example. And then perhaps, if they're ordained to be a son, they will understand and line up with the Word. And not only was the Apostle Paul frustrated by anyone, but anyone who is a true minister of the Word of God also gets frustrated when the people just don't seem to respond to all the hard work of teaching them the truth, as Brother Brown makes it so clear in the following quote. From Position in Christ, which is one of the doctrine series, Brother Brown said, I'm going to rub this really hard, see, because I don't mean it to be rude. Please don't really think that I'm mean. I don't want to be. What worries me is to take people and preach to them this God-sent truth, and they'll turn right back around and just keep on doing the same thing and say that they got the Holy Ghost. That just nearly ruins you. Now, I know what it's like to be a preacher and to preach your heart out and to have people just go over the head like water off the back of a duck. It's very frustrating. And that's what he said, it nearly ruins you. See? What's the matter? They come right back to the same thing. Just like the children of Israel, they wanted a king so this king could rule over them and make them act like the Amorites and the Amalekites and the Philistines. And again from a sermon, sirs, we would say Jesus, he said, and I today, this morning, I wanted to come down real bad and hear Brother Neville's message, but after making that promise, then I didn't want to break it. I didn't want to break it. So then I tried to listen to radios and so forth, and all I could hear was, immediately after this service, we'll all meet out in the lunchroom and have coffee together, and what has the church come to? Notice those words of rebuke. What has the church come to? That is exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, a gospel of a different nature. Then Brother Brown says, it's a lodge. Why don't you just say lodge instead of church? Church are not supposed to do that. Church is not a meeting of coffee or dinners or suppers and things like that. We have communion with the Lord. The church, that's where we commune with him. I said to the wife, honey, I'm getting so critical. I hate to go down at the tabernacle or either enter the pulpit. The older I get, look like worse I get. And I don't want to be that like that, but there's something inside me that drives me to be like that. Then I said, am I losing my mind? Why can't I go with the rest of the crowd? Why can't I go like the other brethren? Why can't I get me an organization built around it like they do? Or why can't I go out and quit hammering at the people and things like that? Why can't I do it? I said, I think, have I lost my mind? And then I come back to the Word, and there it is. I must stay with the Word. I said, well, if it wasn't for the Word of God, and I know there was a God, I'd build me a little cabin somewhere, go far back into British Columbia, way back into Canada, in the mountains where I wouldn't see a human being once a year. And after Brother Justin read that quote communion, you know, I got up and I said, you know, Brother Don Hoffman and I have often talked about going up west and getting a buffalo, about 600 acres, and just forget it all. Well, so then we heard the Apostle Paul tell us in 2 Corinthians 3, as we continue at verse 5, he says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, and the word rude, it doesn't mean rude like, you know, saying hogwash or things like that. You know, the word rude means sounding ignorant or sounding unlearned. He said, yet I'm not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, in other words, in humbling myself, that you might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you a service. And when I was present with you and wanted, being needy myself, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia, they supplied. In other words, that which would meet my needs had to be supplied by others not here locally. And in all things I have kept myself from being a burden unto you, and so I will keep my, and so I will continue to keep myself, is what he's saying. Now, Brother Brown did the same thing, and so did Brother Vail. And I never once have asked you people to help with the cost of this building, to build it and to keep it going. And that is what he's saying here. That's what Brother Brown used his own money to build the tabernacle, and so did Brother Vail use a lot of his own money to pay it off. And so that's your pattern. That was Paul. And I believe that's the pattern of every true fivefold minister. Now let's jump forward to verse 13. Because he was talking about how others have come along and have brought into the church, the true church of God, or the true message, a different nature from the gospel that he had brought. And now in verse 13 he tells us, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And we know righteousness is right wiseness. That's the truth. And so they act like they're in the message, but they're really not. Again, we hear the Apostle Peter warn us of the same thing that will take place at the end time. In 2 Peter 2 and 1, he says, But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately, I mean stealthily, they shall bring in to where? Bring in alongside of true doctrine destructive heresies. That's what the Weiss translation says. Bringing in damnable heresies, even denying, saying no to the Lord that bought them. And the one who bought them is God, and he paid for them by the purchased blood of his own son, and so they're saying no to him. Like, we don't want your word. You know, we want programs, we want this and that, but we don't want your word. And they bring themselves upon themselves swift destruction. And many. Now, he doesn't say just a few here, but the word actually says mostly. I looked that up. That word many actually should be mostly. And mostly shall follow their pernicious ways. Rumors, or their ruinous ways. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. In other words, they will use their own words to draw you to their own understanding and to gain many followers. And to do so, they will cast aspersions on the true doctrine, and they will defame, and they will make light of the true doctrine in order to gain the greatest market share, yes, market share of the souls of men. That's what it's all about for them. That is the same Catholic spirit we see in Revelation 18, where men make merchandise of the souls of men. And here we go again. And it's all about the money. Notice, and through covetousness, that's greed, shall they with feigned words, pretentious words, made up words, make merchandise of you. So their whole kit and caboodle is about making money. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now, Brother Bram said in the sermon, God keeps his word, number two. Every time the people are gathered together at the end of the road, at a junction, God sends a true prophet, and the devil sends a false prophet. And I said, Brother Moore, we need a prophet. I wanted to see what he would say. He looked at me a little bit, and I said, and we got a true prophet. And that true prophet is the Holy Ghost. He is a spiritual being. God sent the Holy Ghost to lead the church, and Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost has come, he will show you things to come, and will bring these things to your memory, which I taught unto you. And the true Holy Ghost will teach the Word of God, and stay with the Word, and warn of things to come. That's right. And we've got a prophet, but what do we do with him? He tries to direct us to the Word, we go off to draw a crowd. He tries to direct us to the Word, we go off to draw a crowd. Now listen, this very next verse, what Brother Brown says is very, very important. Brother, I'd rather preach to two people and be true in the sight of God than to stand before 10 million and have to compromise or to do something contrary to hurt my Lord Jesus, to do something against his kingdom. I'd rather stand and preach the true word than to have an organization of my own. So there you go. You're looking at something that Brother Brown said, look, I would rather preach to the four posts of the church. I'd rather have a small congregation. I'd rather have two or three people that really, truly believe this word and preach to them and know that I'm seeing a result of that preaching than to have thousands, 1,500, 2,000, 100,000, million people. And look at all the reprobates sitting in church. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if I could preach to a group like that. I'd probably be carried off. So the problem exists of there not only being a true fivefold ministry, but a false fivefold ministry as well. Like, who's the guy that claims to have the biggest church in America? Joel Osteen, yeah. You know, he's not leading people to Christ, he's leading people to hell, and they don't even know it. I mean, the things that he preaches is nothing but heathenism. Now, there is a true ministry that will say only what God has already spoken through Paul, and there is a false ministry who wants to add to what Paul taught. That's your demarcation line right there, what Paul taught. That is what makes a difference. And anyone who teaches contrary to what Paul taught is a false fivefold minister, not because I say so, but because the Apostle Paul said so. He said, anybody who preaches contrary to what I've taught, let him be cursed. Now, the problem lies in the fact that for 2,000 years, we've had so many false fivefold ministers claiming to be the true fivefold minister that the people have become leery of all of them. Thus, another doctrine was born in the 1970s that said, listen to the tapes only, in reference to Brother Branham. This doctrine belongs to a group of people that to try to run Brother Collins out of the tabernacle many times. But Brother Branham never preached that. He said, I preach only what Paul preached. And he himself said that he only taught what Paul taught. William Branham said that his absolute was the Word of God, not himself. And he said he only taught what Paul taught. So today we have two extremes. First, you have those ministers who claim to be true fivefold ministers, and the people that you know in that circle, that it's only the fivefold, and they push only the fivefold, only the fivefold. Brother Branham's not seen his ministry done. It's us now. We are the voice. We are this and that. Then you have the other people who say only the tapes, we don't want a minister because they've been bitten many times. And they've had bad, they've had a bad experience sitting under false fivefold ministers. So they say only the tapes. And I can understand them more than I can understand them. You understand? I can understand only the tapes more than I can understand only the fivefold. Because it's not only the fivefold.
Right.
You see? All right. So, what we see Paul teach in the alpha ministry of Christ to the first church age, and then what God himself, in his very presence, with his very presence, vindicating the ministry of his end time omega ministry of William Branham, his prophet. God vindicated the written word of Paul and the spoken word of William Branham, showing that he had not changed his doctrine, but was the same yesterday, today, and forever. The theme of Brother Branham's message. Always remember and never forget that William Branham said he only preached what Paul taught, so the omega must line up with the alpha, or you are not hearing the omega ministry of Christ correctly.
Amen.
And I don't have a problem with people only listening to tapes if they are in a situation where they don't have a church. But Brother Ram said, if you have a church, go at least get a slice of bread. Then go home and listen to tapes yourself. I've always told you people, I've always told you people, listen to tapes. Even when it was kind of the posh thing, you know, everybody listen to Brother Bell, listen to Brother Bell, listen to Brother Bell. I said, listen to Brother Bell, but listen to Brother Branham. Don't forget to listen to Brother Branham. Mm-hmm. Always. That's the voice of God to this hour, okay? Now, I've always loved what Brother Billy Paul said in his testimony, in which I've heard four or five different times he told his testimony. And in every single one, he says, you must have two sights on a gun to hit the target. And if you do not line up the back sight, which is the spoken word, with the front sight, which is the word of God written, you're going to not hit the target. And in shooting a gun, you know, if you look just through the front sight, you're not going to hit the target. If you look just the back sight, you're not going to hit the target. You've got to line those two together, and now you're on a bullseye. You see? But the problem is that people are all of one. they're all of one, or they're none at all. In other words, they're all one or none at all. Alright? They either only want the tapes or they only want the Bible, and you cannot understand the Bible without the tapes, and you cannot understand what is on the tapes without taking it back to the Bible. It's just that simple. Now, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4:11, and he, which he's talking about God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith. All right? And that the faith, then, is just, notice, the faith, which means just one faith, which is a revelation of Jesus Christ that we're to be unified around. And the word and, it says, and the knowledge of the Son of God, and is a conjunction unifying two thoughts, the one thought being the revelation of the Son of God, and the other thought being, and the knowledge of the Son of God. You can't have the faith, that you can't have the revelation of Jesus Christ without understanding or having knowledge of the Son of God. You cannot understand Godhead without understanding the role of the Son, that He is not the Godhead, but the Godhead was in Him.
Right.
All right? So we see the word and unifies the unity of the faith or revelation of Jesus Christ with the knowledge of the Son of God, because you truly cannot come to a unity of the revelation without an understanding of the Son of God. And this brings us unto a perfect man, a mature son of God, fully equipped to become like the firstborn son, unto the measure of the stature, which is the character of the fulfillment of Christ. In other words, fulfilling that character. And when we are fully mature sons and daughters of God in the very image of and with the very same character of Christ, the firstborn son, then we will no longer be, as Paul said, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Notice, so you're talking about the body fitting to the head. Now, if you have a huge head like this and just a little immature body, it's not going to work. The body won't be able to hold up the head. So you've got to have a body that's commensurate with the head. In other words, the body has to be in the image as the head is in the image. So he's talking about the body growing up to fit the head, which is Christ. That means the body has to be so honed to the head that the head will fit perfectly on it. And that means the body will have to be so Christ-like, in the very image of Christ, that when the head fits together with the body, it will be a perfect fit. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now notice the fivefold ministry is to be in the church until, it says, until the bride is fully mature, until the bride is fully mature and ready for adoption. And this is not for just a period of seven church ages, but it was until the body comes into the unity of the doctrine of Christ through the understanding of the Son of God and his relationship with the Father. All right. Now, Brother Brown said in his sermon, Super Sign, said, what did Jesus say? He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How far? All the world. How many? Every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And a conjunction, these signs shall follow them that believe. In all the world and every creature, every creation, every creature. Now I can show you where God puts gifts and power in the church. I want somebody to put his finger on a scripture and show me where he took it out, where he took it back from the church. Just like John 14:12. I can show you where God said it. You tell me where he unsaid it. It's a super sign to the believer that we pass from death unto life because we feel the Holy Spirit and see it working on our lives and changing us from what we were to what we are now. Amen. He arose from the dead. Thanks be to God. Therefore, the main purpose of God placing these five gifts into the church, he tells us, is to correct the spirit of the people by preaching the revelation of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of the Son of God. Because when you get focused on the Son of God, and it brings you into that unity of the revelation, that changes you. You don't have to be hammered on by a preacher. You don't have to have somebody, you know, up here and just reading a clothesline religion. Look, when you understand the role of the firstborn son and the role of other sons and the role of the firstborn son being the very image, being the very pattern, then you conform to that. That conforms you. It's not somebody preaching hellfire and brimstone. It's you and Christ alone. Hallelujah. Brother Brown said from Smyrna Church, he said, God never intended the church to be run by man. God runs his church, and he runs it through gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit is in the church to correct the Spirit. He's got five ministerial offices in his church. And that is what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:2. Notice the first thing he tells the minister is to preach the word. See, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now notice those words, reprove, which means to tell a fault and admonish or bring that fault under the light of the word. Not just broadcast the fault as if somebody's in sin and you're going to tell everybody that somebody's in sin. You bring it right back to the word. So the word does the correction. And then to rebuke, which means to admonish, forbid, or censure. Then he has exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And the word exhort means to invite or invoke, implore, or entreat. And how are we to do this? He says with all longsuffering, which means with patience and with doctrine. So I see that this is the reason why God sent in the church a ministry with five different ways to getting the job done that he wants done. Five different approaches to preaching the same word, the same message. If you go through it, and you don't have time to get into it tonight, but Brother Brown talks about an apostle. His ministry is, he says, he's one who's sent. He said, now if you go over there and stay, he said, you're not an apostle. You're a squatter. He says, you're a squatter. Okay? And a teacher, he says, can take the word to a depth that a pastor or evangelist can never do. He said, an evangelist is a real fireball. And he brings the word in such a way that it brings conviction. You see? And a pastor, you know, he knows the rank and file of the enemy. He knows the condition of the people. And so he tends to preach to those things. So each of them has a different way to bring the same doctrine. In fact, they could use the same quotes, same scriptures, but preach it so differently that if you like preaching, you like emotion, you know, you're going to want to hear the evangelist. Or you know, but if you like teaching, some people really like teaching, then you're going to really enjoy the teachers, you see. But they could be preaching the same quotes, same scriptures. They could be preaching the same word upon word, line upon line. It's just the way that they do it. It's the operation. You see, you have a fan here, you have a fan over there, you have a little fan over there. Now, that fan can turn at different speeds. This one can't. I think it can, maybe up and low. but not, you know, it's just a little bit different. All right, you have the same electricity is doing the lights, same electricity is doing the screen up here, doing the lights on the walls. And notice there's different levels of light coming from the different, we have the bigger balls, we have the smaller balls, we have the sconces, we have all these things. So, but it's the same electricity going through all of them. It's the same Holy Ghost. Like Brother Brown said, it's not the preacher who preaches, it's God preaching through the preacher. So it's not the teacher who teaches, it's the Holy Ghost is a teacher. You see? Okay, so each of the fivefold ministry has a different way to bring the same word to life using the same word. That is a marvelous thing because you may like to hear it the way that one happens to bring it, but you may just love the way another one. I mean, you may not like to hear it the way one preaches it. I mean, you may like the word he's preaching, but you may not care to, like me, you know, you may not care to sit and watch somebody read the notes. You might like someone who's a fireball. All right? Well, then that's fine. So if somebody's preaching it like a fireball and doesn't need to look down at their notes and read all the quotes and scriptures, then that's fine. If they got a memory that can do that, more power to them. I don't have it. All right? So I teach. But notice then, some like preaching, they love the emotional way that the word is brought out, while others can't get enough of teaching. So God is a God of variety, and he meets the needs of all his children by using five totally different offices to administer his word to the hearer. Brother Brown said, and be not afraid, he said, another thing I want to say before I ask or say again. Now, first, is faith cometh by what? By hearing, and hearing the word of God. Now, that ought to be sufficient, and it would be for me, it would be for you, if they don't believe your word, just let them alone. But that isn't so with our Lord Jesus. No, it isn't so. He sends gifts in the church. There's no one can deny that gifts isn't in the church of the living God. 1 Corinthians 12 says there's 9 spiritual gifts in everybody, and there's also 5 spiritual offices in the church. First, apostles or missionaries, both of them, the word one sent, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. They are all God's ordained gifts to the church, pastors, evangelists, prophets, and missionaries or apostles into the church. Those are sent there. And then there's 9 spiritual gifts put in every local body. Now, from his sermon, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever, Brother Bram says in paragraph 69, said it's 5 offices God ordained and put into the church. Now, do you believe that? All right. Then, if we believe, there's 5 apostles and prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. And then he has, in each local church, there's 12 or 9 spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 9 spiritual gifts that operate through the body. See, God put every preparation to keep that church just as clean as it can be, without spot or wrinkle. We're at the end time, Gentile people, we're at the end time. So, notice it's for a preparation. It's preparation for what? So that you can be matured. You can fully grow up and be adopted sons. Alright? Now, let me just stop here for just a moment to show the difference between... In fact, I'm not even going to do that. We'll get into that maybe next time, or maybe not. But, anyway, from his sermon, Brother Brown said, there's 5 offices that God puts in the church. There's 9 spiritual gifts that accompany that office, and all the members of the body. The first is apostle, which is missionaries. The word apostle means one that's sent. The word missionary means one that's sent, the same word. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. These offices God sets in the church. They're all in operation, or should be. And we cannot bypass one and say there's teachers without saying evangelists. We cannot say that there's evangelists without saying there's an apostles. And we cannot say there's apostles without admitting there's prophets. All of them are for the perfecting of the body of Christ. The Lord gives me visions. Those things begin when I was a baby. I do not believe that a man can be called of man and be a successful minister. I believe gifts and callings are without repentance, that God, by his foreknowledge, foreordained his ministers into the gospel and the gifts into the church. That's why Brother Bram said, look, you just don't get hands laid on you by another minister and you know, presto changeo, you know, you weren't, you know, a hog, now you're a human, you know, you were a laity, now you're a minister. It doesn't work that way. Just because somebody says you're going to be a minister doesn't make it so. I don't care if the man is a prophet of God and he says, well, you know, you're going to be a minister. God has to call you to be that minister. Now, I'd have faith that if a man is praying for you to become that, but it still depends on God. You see? And, like Brother Brown said, unless you've met with the Holy Spirit, with the pillar of fire in the backside of the desert, he said, you know, you better not even approach that pulpit. All right? This is a very serious thing. So you cannot say, I accept one, but I don't accept the other. Those who sit under a teacher, how often do they acknowledge the evangelist? Now just ask yourself, how many times did you have an evangelist come to your church? All right? And those who sent under a prophet, how often do you hear them say, Brother so-and-so is a wonderful teacher sent by God? I don't hear that. Or Brother so-and-so is doing the work of an apostle. I don't hear that. But the thing of it is, it is the same God who set all five offices in the church for the perfecting of the church. And as Brother Bram, we read the quote the other day, Brother Bram said, and it's the same God who's actually doing those things. It's God preaching. It's God teaching. It's God giving visions. You see? So the church, Brother Bram said, I'm helpless till he comes. See? So the church cannot come to perfection without these five offices doing what they were ordained to do. Now, what is so hard to understand about that? Because that is God's provided way. Now, we want to say, well, God's provided way is to send us a prophet. And that's true. But his provided way is also to send us the five gifts that Paul spoke of in Ephesians 4. And to say you can have one and you can't have the other, you're off your rocker. I don't mean to say you're crazy. I just mean to say that you're just not reading the whole picture. All right? You're rocking. You've got a bump in there somewhere. And nothing worse to be rocking than have a bump. All right? Just like the light coming to an ordained minister in a certain place, Brother Brown said in the Church Age book, that it cannot make its way out without the aid of men who have been faithfully taught. But it's all about what God is doing in the church, bringing the people to the place of willing and doing. Now, but as long as you say, well, I'm a revale, a teacher, or I don't have a need of an apostle or an evangelist, it just shows that you're yet carnal. And if you say, well, I'm of Joseph Branham, a prophet, and have no need of a teacher, or an apostle, or a pastor, or an evangelist, are you not carnal also? You see, what I'm trying to do, look, is just break down these divisions. The divisions are all built on men looking at men. Men have their eyes on a vessel. They like that vessel, and so that's the only vessel to them. But it's not the only vessel to God.
That's right.
You see? Don't get offended, brothers and sisters. All I'm trying to do is bring a balance here with what Brother Branham and the Apostle Paul were teaching. This is not my opinion. This is what God said through his prophets.
Amen.
All right? That is what the Apostle Paul said himself. He said, I'm of this one or I'm not of this one. And he said, aren't you carnal? In 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, he said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Well, the Baptist wants you to think all like a Baptist. The Pentecostal wants you to think all like a Pentecostal. You know, the people who follow Brother Bell want you all to think like Brother Bell. The people who follow Joseph Branham want you all to think like Joseph Branham. I'm just using these names because they're familiar with people. I'm not using them because they are responsible. I'm just using them as examples, okay? So don't say that I'm preaching against anybody. Now, but Paul says, and notice Paul even brings up himself as Cephas and Apollos, all three men of God, used by God, all right? And he says, but if you got your focus on one and you won't allow in the other, he said, you're nothing but carnal, mm-hmm. All right? Now, we beseech you, brother, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. He's talking about the people at Corinthia. He's talking about the people, the household of Chloe told Paul, hey, they got problems in Corinth. Now, this is to say that every one of you saith, well, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Then he goes on to say, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you except for, he names off two people. We all see in chapter 3 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, and I, brother, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither are you yet able, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? And for while one saith, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? For who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe? Now look, if anybody had a right to say, hey, I'm Paul, I'm the one that God showed it to, Apollos is just a fivefold minister, but I'm the messenger for the hour. Paul didn't say that. Uh-uh. He said, Apollos has just as much right in this thing as I do. It's not our message, it's God's message. God came down with a shout. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now Paul didn't say, I have planted and I'm watering. I'm doing it all. It's not what he said, but people are saying that today. That's not right. I believe the ministry of the fivefold is to water what Brother Branham brought. He planted the word for this hour. And we are to water that word. All right, by the washing of water by the word. But he noticed, but Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything. Put your finger in a bucket of water, and the hole you leave when you pull out your finger, that's how much God needed Paul. That's how much God needed Apollos. That's how much God needed me. All right? That's how much God needed William Branham. You say, oh, that's blasphemy. No, William Branham said that himself. He told his children that. So that neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Therefore let no man glory in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's. And Christ is God's. And I think the biggest detriment to the message that God has sent is the division that has taken place between the churches who lift up one man above another or one ministry above another. There are no big I's or little U's in the family of Christ. There's only one God who is the Father of all and in all, and one brother who is the oldest brother in the vast family of brothers, and then many, many brothers. All right? The eldest son said in Mark 10:42, but Jesus called them to him, and he saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. Don't be that way. See? But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, shall be your servant. And whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. In other words, let me just put it reverse. He who serves the people entirely, his whole life is of service, he's actually the greatest. Not he who says, I'm this, I'm that, you got to come to me, you got to wash my car, you got to do my house, you got to mow my lawn. No, forget it. Forget it. God, Jesus Christ, God himself came down in the vessel of his son, and he didn't come to pomp us. He came down to humble himself and to show us how it's done. And whosoever you will be, the chiefest shall be servant of all, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And then in John 14:13, we hear Jesus tell the disciples again, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. But if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And one of the greatest joys I get is washing a two-year-old's feet. My little grandson, and having him wash my feet. I don't need to have the great evangelist or the great prophet come through or the great apostle or teacher or whatever and say, hey, I washed his feet. I get more out of washing a little two-year-old's feet and setting an example for that little two-year-old. You don't realize the joy it gives me, because I know that I'll do it with him in the kingdom as well. We'll be the same age then. Hallelujah. All right. Therefore, the first requirement of a true fivefold minister is humility. For without it, you do not know your place, so how can you do the work of God? Because it requires a humble heart to take the lower seat. It takes true humility to be mocked at, to be spat at, and still move ahead with what God wants for you to do for others. It's not easy being in any role of the fivefold, because you're a constant target for the devil's barbs. From the image of Christ, Brother Ram said, I'm not interested in seminaries and what somebody's got to tell me. I don't care about kissing crucifixes or pulling through your heart or saying prayers to the dead. I'm interested in one thing, that's more of the Holy Spirit to take over William Branham. Can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
All right, it's not my words, it's his. I'm not interested in joining a greater church than what I belong to. I belong to the real church of the living God, the firstborn. I was born into it. And I want more of the Holy Ghost in my life to reflect Christ, who I love. I don't care what plane or level I have to come to in order to get it. I don't care if I have to go here, go there, be called a fanatic or holy roller or whatever it may be. I want more of His life to be reflected. I'm not interested in the plane I have to come on. I'm interested in the Holy Ghost so I can be more of a servant like He was. He was the Lord's servant, never come to be served or ministered to, never come to be ministered to, but to minister to. He took the place of the servant. And if the King of Heaven could do that, and we're the members of His body, let's all be likewise. Not be different, but humble ourselves in His presence. No matter what the world's got to say, or the intellectual people thinking nothing about it, just receive more of the Holy Ghost and be like Jesus, humble, meekly, lowly, take His place and He will take yours at the judgment. Hallelujah. That's a promise of God. The power of transformation, Brother Brown said. Now, I'm rather slow in speaking because I'm not a trained minister. I know there's people here that's smart, intelligent, intellectual, and have laid that aside to come over now and to break themselves down in humility. Great Paul the Apostle, I think of his words when he said, I did not come to you with enticing words of men, because there you'd place your faith in that. But I come to you in the power of the Spirit. See, the great things that he knew he had, he laid aside. And I feel this morning like men here, like Brother Huey and Sister Teacher here from the mission field, and many of you people who are really intelligent and smart, and I feel very little to stand here with no more education than I have before you. But to see that you people like that would humble yourselves to them things and lay aside and set them down and listen to a person that hardly knows their ABCs that makes great people out of you. It isn't he that can stick his shoulders out and walk out, and it's he that can humble himself. And I think character is measured by man, not by the muscles on his arms or by the calluses on his hands, but the bag in the knees of his trousers where he's prayed. I think that's what makes it. And from the message influence, he said, the king got along fine until he found out that all the nations was fearing him. He'd become largely populated. His kingdom got built up, and he got lifted up in his heart with pride. You see, I'm just a big man now, and that's the way up is down. How do you know which is up or down? Because if the world's standing in space, how do you know which is up or down? So always, he that humbles himself, God will exalt. He that exalts himself, God will bring to a base. He'll bring him down. Always keep humble and be little in your own sight. No matter what God does for you, just see how much more humbler you can be all the time. The more God blesses you, just keep getting more humble all the time. He can continue to bless. But when you get to a place that you think, well, I've got it, you haven't got it, you're on your road out. That's right. See, you'll lose your influence. You lose your strength of your testimony. When you women begin to want to be like the rest of the women, there's something wrong. When you men, you ministers, try to become like a pattern after somebody else. When your businessmen try to do your business on the scale that somebody else would do it on, because they're prosperous. Prosperity don't always represent success in Christ. Sometimes very much to the contrary, see? And from Pergamian Church Age, he said, see, that's the difference. Somebody wants their name in some big something, but God's people wants to shun that kind of a stuff. They don't want great big things and great big something. They want to be humble. That's humility. The way up is down. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. He that exalts himself shall be abased. Humbled himself. Don't try to be something big. Try to be a little something. But be what you are. See? Be little in the sight of God. Be little in your own sight. Everybody else is above you. Let him that's greatest among you be minister to all. Who could be greater than Jesus Christ, who girded himself and washed his disciples' feet? A foot-washed flunky he become. The God of heaven, the creator of heavens and earth, washing dirty feet for fishermen, with manure and stuff and dust of the road, where their garments had swept it up and washing it off, and a foot-washing flunky, what he was. And then we think we're somebody. We got to be Dr. PhD so-and-so. Oh my, that ain't Christ. That don't display the lovely Jesus Christ. He becomes servant to all. That's right. Taught us an example, what we should do to one another as He's did unto us. And that's my Lord. What makes Him big? Because He made Himself little. See, that's what made Him be. And from image of Christ, Brother Anderson, what a difference of the so-called reflecting Christian today. What a difference. Why, the so-called Christian today wants to be served. Oh, he begins to think that he's somebody. What a difference from what it was reflecting him. He never come to be ministered to. He come to minister. Let he that's greatest among you be the servant of them, of them all. And we have seen today that our modern trend of Christianity is, well, I'm somebody and you're nothing. We've all heard that. Oh, it's wrong. It should not be that way. We are trying to reflect Christianity in the wrong way. God doesn't want us to do it that way. We sing the song to be like Jesus, but when it comes to humble our pride and to get down like He did, then we draw the line. And in doing so, man has formed denominations that they can separate themselves, seemingly not having the Spirit, as the Scripture says. They separate themselves. We belong to a certain church. It's a bigger church. It's a better church. Our denomination is a greater denomination. That doesn't act like Jesus. That doesn't reflect His love, His personality. He came to the lowest, to the street harlot, to the beggar, to the bum, and got right down in the dust with them. That's the Christian life. That's the way it should be, to reflect Him in that way. And from influence said, now notice, these angels now, and John the Baptist, and Paul, and different ones, when they saw the glory of God and that light, they bowed to it. They honored it. They respected it because they humbled themselves. And these angels, even that minister in His presence, cover up their feet and cover their face. Oh my. And notice, right quickly, had two more wings. And by this, they could put Himself into action. And from Jesus at the door, he said, now my expenses is not much. They run about $100 a day at my office and home and so forth. Now, that might seem like a lot to some. But what do you think Oral Roberts runs a day? It's around $10,000. Now listen, this is back in 1958, when $500 was worth $80,000 today. All right. Now that might seem like a whole lot to some. But what do you think Oral Roberts runs a day? It's around $10,000 a day. And Billy Graham runs 25,000 a minute on his broadcasting thing. So see, this is very little. But I kept my work little and smooth, humble, so that I could come to small groups like this and minister. You know, when I went down to Bolivia, back when I went down to Peru, first time I came down, I said, brother, who's going to be there? He said, well, he said, I can vouch for myself. He said, maybe two or three others. I said, okay, I'll come. He told me, he said, he had asked other ministers to come down. They didn't have hundreds. They weren't interested. I didn't care. Because Brother Branham, Jesus Himself, were our example. Paul. Ephesus had 12 people in his church. You know, by those standards, people today call Paul a washed up preacher. 12 people? Hey, I sat there in Brother Vale services with 12 people on Wednesday nights, right, Don? You remember that back in the early 80s? Mm-hmm. Yeah, up in the farmhouse? 12 people on a Wednesday night. And that wasn't just one, that was almost every Wednesday night. 12 people. And I thought, one of the greatest teachers since the Apostle Paul. 12 people on a Wednesday night. What can you say? But I kept my work little and smooth, humble, so that I could come to small groups like this and minister. See? If it went up to where I had to have a lot of radio time and television and great offices and things, which could have been, then I couldn't have been led, just like I am now, to go to 5 or 6 or whatever. And I preached before 500,000 at one time, see? Oh, I preached to between 6,000 and 7,000 people. But I'd rather preach to half a dozen or a dozen people, to tell you the truth. To a half a dozen or a dozen that I know that really understand what I'm talking about. Now, from proving His word, Brother Graham said, you think about the rapture. If the rapture comes this morning, and I say this in humility, there's no doubt that half of this congregation, if we went according to the degree, according to where we should be, half of you would go before me. You ever hear that quote? half of you would go before me. That's right. Look at the responsibility I've got and how loosely I carry it. I'm an unprofitable servant to Christ to know what I know about Him and then live the way I do. Not immoral, not unclean, nothing like that. God knows that's true. See, I try to live right, but I just look like I can't get the thing to go over. Maybe it had been somebody else, maybe a highly educated or something, they could have got it to the people, but then some to think it's not all about the people going to get it anyhow. See, He knows what He's going to do. So I just commit myself to Him and I say, Lord, I'm in Your hands. Do with me as You see fit. Now, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. 1983, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, write your sermons down word for word, and one day they're going to be read all over the world. I thought, well, Brother Ram said there, why write a history? There's not going to be anybody around to read it. But I was not disobedient to what the Holy Spirit told me. And today these sermons are translated into 11 languages and they're read all over the world. 1,346 translated. 3,658 sermons of mine alone on the internet. 1,200 Brother Branham's, 1,200 Brother Vail's. 3,600. It's a small work, brother. But it's a big work in the eyes of God. Mm-hmm. And there's people everywhere. We get about 11 countries coming to watch these services being streamed. Pocket here, pocket there, pocket here, pocket there. Not big numbers, maybe 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. But the same Holy Spirit that touches you and me, He touches them by the same word. Because He says, it isn't, he mentions about how people look at people's clothes. He said, we haven't got humility from influence. And people don't, and you go sometimes to a real well-dressed people in church, and they'll come in, and if you're not dressed just right, they'll look at you and talk, and you know. And they shouldn't do that. And professing Christianity, I think it's just a profession and not a possession. Because I believe that a real old-time experience with God will make a tuxedo coat, put his arms around a pair of overalls, and say, brother, I really believe it. It's true. A calico dress with a silk one, we'll call it sister. Yes, sir. Because it isn't the clothes, it isn't the person, it's Christ. What's on the inside, and we should humble ourselves. From the Message Life, he said, may we ever remain, and may we ever remain faithful and true to the calling, that we might go out, not in the power of money, in the power of great things of the earth, but in the power of humility, in sweetness and humbleness of the Spirit, as we will make us and mold us into the images of sons and daughters of God, He will make us and mold us, that we might win others to Him. In Jesus' name we ask this blessing to honor God. And in closing, from Hear Ye Him, Brother Branham says, when we receive the Holy Ghost, it just isn't to jump up and down and shout. It isn't just to speak with tongues and run over the floor. It isn't to organize a group and say, we got it and the rest of you haven't. It's to work with love and humility as Christ come to do it, to do with. He said, this will all men know that you're my disciples when you have love one for another. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank You for Your word. And knowing, Father, the humility that You showed us through Your prophet. And that's more an attraction to the people around the world than even the doctrine that He taught. Is to see that life of Christ reflected in that vessel that was so obedient to the heavenly vision. That's what we want to be like, Father. We're not all called to be theologians and to know every jot tittle. But Father, we are all called to be like Christ. And He humbled Himself to be a servant. And so, Lord, help us, O God. Make me a servant. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all sing that song together. Make me a servant. Humble in me. And I think I'm going to have to try to find it on my... in here because I haven't sung it such a long time, I might have forgotten it. Is this in the book at all? Just in and off the book? Okay. Just give me one more second here. It's good for me.
May the prayer of my heart